May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've often thought that Judy Garland is not quoted enough in sermons. Her raw and sometimes vivid humanity meant that she was in touch with our shared vulnerability. Always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of someone else, she said. It seems like good advice on a weekend when the church throughout the world celebrates the feast of Mary Magdalene, and on a day when we celebrate baptism and we are all reminded of our uniqueness under God. A moment of baptism, then properly understood, draws us all into a deeper reflection. Almost everyone here has been baptized, and if we are willing, we will each ask what it has meant to us. We will recall those who brought us to baptism, and if we are feeling courageous, we will consider what being a disciple of Christ demands of us now. Reading the Bible and studying the history of the church has the advantage of reminding us of those who have tried to live this life before. Though we do not yet know what Liam will become, we could do worse than point him in the direction of some people as a source of encouragement. Liam's generation of Christians will likely see the full inclusion of women in leadership in the church. And this week, Mary Magdalene's feast reminds us of women in that position. As I reflect upon the role women have had in my life as a Christian, I remember the little old lady, whose name I don't recall, who taught Sunday school in our church. Apart from my own mother, the first woman I met who pointed to Jesus and said, "This is worth learning about." And a religious sister has been my spiritual guide ever since my ordination. I could hardly exaggerate the beneficial influence of her example and wisdom in my own formation. And together with many women before and since, I would have to conclude that the ministry of women has played a very significant role in my Christian life. But women in the Bible often have neither a name nor a voice. They somehow fit into someone else's story. Rarely is the story about them. We don't know the names of Pharaoh's daughter, Noah's or Lot's wives, and even when we come to the New Testament, little has changed. The woman with the issue of blood, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman of the town, the woman who was bent over, the woman taken in adultery, not even the woman at the well is named. And so it follows that where a woman is identified by name, it is for a very important reason. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary in Scripture, not only is named, but we know where she comes from. Magdala or Migdal, a small town near Tiberias in Galilee, and also how she came into relationship with Jesus. But do we really know her? For centuries, it was commonly thought that Mary was a prostitute, and although the Gospels don't actually say this, we can imagine how it suited some to cast her as a woman in need of redemption. The New Testament Eve, whose sin has been the fragile end of a spectrum polarized by the other Virgin Mary. When we first meet Mary Magdalene in Luke's Gospel, we hear of her traveling with Jesus along with 12 disciples and also some women who have been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, from whom 7 demons had come out. A figure no less than Gregory the Great appears responsible for some of the confusion, when in a sermon in 597, he identified her with the woman who had lived a sinful life and who wept at and anointed Jesus' feet. It took centuries to correct this false impression. But if we ask if it really matters, then the answer is yes, because the reality is a woman who appears to have suffered from a complex ailment. Seven demons suggests Mary was at rock bottom. Perhaps a nervous condition, or epilepsy or depression. Demons of fear and fragility and low self-esteem. An inability to function in a balanced and credible way until she encounters Jesus and is healed. Thanks to her faith in Jesus, Mary Magdalene becomes strong. I first came to understand her when on a visit to the famous Romanesque church at Vézelay in Burgundy, where her relics are preserved in the crypt. In the candle-burnt darkness, people queue to kneel and pray, to just spend a few moments in the presence of this exceptional woman, this saint, this disciple, this apostle. And having met the real person, you can never perceive her in the same way again. In seeing her revered as holy, you recognize the truth that it is simply wrong to do what has been done for centuries, to make her an icon of fallen womanhood and place her in a box marked damaged goods, only redeemable by Jesus. If in encountering Jesus and being baptized, we become the people we are called to be, then Mary Magdalene is very significant indeed. She is called by name, identified by place, and described as a leader of women who funded and enabled Jesus' own ministry. 14 times she is mentioned. All four Gospels tell us about her. Uniquely, she is present at the crucifixion, the burial, and the tomb. The first to encounter the risen Jesus, seemingly against the odds, Mary becomes the apostle to the apostles when Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, but go and tell." But why is the rehabilitation of Mary important today? Because we live in an age that is gifted with establishing for the very first time the proper place of women in society, with seeking to ensure the opportunity for every woman to become the person God intended them to be, unrestricted by culture, tradition, or patriarchy. Recognizing that we need the deepening, enriching, and humanizing presence of women in every aspect of society. We could do worse then than return to Mary Magdalene, a woman prevented from flourishing in life until her faith in Jesus set her free, and see in her journey both the limitations and opportunities present to everyone. But in the end, her uniqueness lies in her witness to you and to me, to Liam, and to all those who are and who may yet be baptized. Because what Mary Magdalene discovered when she came to believe in Jesus is that Jesus believed in her. And the key message of her life as a Christian is as relevant today as it was then. That no matter what your circumstances have made you in life, there is always a way back to God. Not what thou art, nor what thou hast been, beholdeth God with his merciful eyes, but that thou wouldst be. Amen.